Reading is from Isaiah chapter 55 and can be found on page 742. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed.
New Testament reading can be found on page 1066 of the Church Bibles. It's John chapter 4. We're starting at verse 1 and going right through to verse 42. Deep breath. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and won't have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. So what you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, Could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. Amen.
So how deep is this living well of life, which becomes a spring to eternal life? In our reading from Isaiah 55 this morning, it is actually reported to be the most significant chapter for evangelism in the whole of the Old Testament. So if anybody wants to become an evangelist or thinks that is his or her calling, you could do no better than to read and to study Isaiah chapter 55. In that chapter of 55, there are 10 salient points that Isaiah brings out in this call, come, come to me, come all you who are thirsty. So the first truth is, God calls all to receive his free grace. Everyone is called. No one is prohibited. This is God's call. Come, all you who are thirsty, to everyone across the world. And notice he says, it is free. Two, only God's salvation by grace can satisfy your thirst. Nothing else can satisfy your thirst other than God's call to you by his Holy Spirit. Three, it is offered to everyone. Four, God calls us to seek him while he can be found. Five, the human response is to have true repentance when we come. To come as we are and to seek his repentance and forgiveness for who we are. Six, pardon and forgiveness are given. Seven, God is higher than the heavens, but because he is so high, he can still be experienced because distance is nothing to him. God's word is powerful than any other word on the planet. Great joy is found when people come to God. And ten, fruit that glorifies God is the everlasting result from those who share his word and his message with others, as well as those who actually receive the message and take it on board. And so in verse 3 of Isaiah 55, give ear and listen to me, come to me. Notice he says, come, come to me. He does not come to us. He sends out the invitation, and the invitation is for us to come to him. He doesn't send out the invitation, then come to us. We have to come to him. And God promises his love to us as he promised it to David all those years ago. But when we try to evangelize or when we try to share our faith with others, there will always be opposition. And there will always be those who don't want to hear or, having partially heard, don't want to hear anymore. I took the school assembly here in the local Wollaston Primary School this last week. And I shared with the children the shepherd and the lost sheep as he went off to find the lost sheep. And so I was talking and explaining to him the love of God and how he loves us. Even those that are lost, he wants them to be found. And this little boy who was sitting right, about as close as that to me, right in the front, he must have been about seven, thereabouts, six or seven, I don't know. And he took great offence to what I was saying, and he came on to the attack, and he completely threw me because I wasn't expecting this from somebody so young. And he sat there, bless him, right in front of me, and looked up at me. I don't believe in God, he says. I want nothing to do with God. I don't want to hear about God. There's no such person as God. And you could see the anger and the expression in his face. And what seemed like an age for a second or two, oh my goodness, what do I do now? Because he completely threw me. And the teachers that were there took no notice. So I was completely alone here. I thought, well, how do I deal now with a seven-year-old who's actually in opposition to me? I'm not getting any help from the teachers. And so I just looked at him. I said, I respect you, young man, for what you've just said, because that's your view, and I respect your view, but my view is different to yours. And this is what I believe, because as a minister of the church, this is what I teach. As your teachers teach history and Mass and English, I teach about God and Jesus. And I said, do you know, I said, because, but whatever you just said, God loves you. He said, I said, God loves you. And you know, he just sort of shrunk and he grinned at me. And it took the sting out. Took the sting out immediately. And so we continued. I thought, here we are going into a school in evangelizing, if you like. But even a seven-year-old can come up against it and attack you verbally, as indeed an adult. So to be an evangelist, it certainly isn't easy. And God never said it would be. But that doesn't stop us. And we continue to share the word of God, even with a seven-year-old, bless them. So now let's turn to John chapter 4, which is our main text. And this, of course, is all about evangelism. And look deeper into what evangelism, from Isaiah's point of view, is all about. And this is evangelism in its real, raw state. The first hymn we sung this morning, as the bear pants for water, so my soul longs after you. Just imagine this deer or this gazelle in the desert in a parched land. She is searching for water, and she knows if she doesn't find this water, she's going to die. She just knows, and she's struggling in this parched land, searching and searching for this water. Her heart is thumping and panting for this well of water. And if she doesn't reach it soon, she's going to die. How thirsty are you this morning for Jesus Christ? How thirsty am I? Very often when I'm up here, I'm not just speaking to you or talking to you. I'm talking to myself and examining myself. How thirsty are we really and truly, on a scale of 1 to 10, thirsty for God in our lives? So in John chapter 4, Jesus continues on his circuit ministry with his disciples through Judea. They have reached the place known as Jacob's Well, which is about 30 miles from Jerusalem and on the outskirts of Samaria on his way to Galilee. The Samaritans, as we know, were an outcast of people from the Jewish society. They were a people who were despised, looked down upon as second-class citizens, people who were never welcomed by the Jews themselves. En route, if you were a Jew, you would always walk around Samaria. You would never go through. You just would not travel through Samaria. So Jesus and his disciples en route reaches the well. This deep, deep well. And the history books tell us that when this well was dug, it was dug 100 foot deep. Just imagine, by today's standards, digging a well 100 foot deep by hand. A shovel, a spade, a rope and pulley, and a basket to put the soil in, to pull it up to the top and lower it down again, basket by basket, digging out this well, going 100 foot deep to find the water table, to have water in a land so parched. This deep, deep well was the main water supply for for a despised people called Samaritans, life-giving water given by Jacob, but blessed by God. And everyone who is loved by God, Jew and Gentile, Samaritans to the end of the earth, come to the waters and drink. Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, slave or free, come, come, all are welcome. So Jesus and his disciples reach this well, we are told, at the sixth hour. This is late evening now. They are parched, as you can imagine, walking for how long, I don't know, but they're dry, they're tired, they're thirsty, and they're hungry. Jesus, being tired and thirsty himself, instructs his disciples to go on into Samaria to buy food and nourishment. And notice he tells them all to go, not just one or two, but they all have to go into Samaria. So Jesus is now left on his own. And very often Jesus wanted to be on his own. But this well is deep. Jesus is tired and thirsty. He has nothing to draw the water from. He has no jug. And the well is too deep. And so you can imagine Jesus just slumping down, leaning against the well. The sun is going down. He ponders about his day's journey. He ponders about his ministry. And he just sits there and waits for his disciples to arrive with nourishment. As he waits, a woman arrives, a Samaritan woman, no doubt with two empty jugs, one on her shoulder and one being carried, to get her water supply for the evening and for the next day. No one is more surprised than she is. A man, a Jew, sitting by the well, tired and weary. He speaks to her and opens up a dialogue. He has no jug, and he says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" A fair question to ask somebody who is so thirsty and tired. "How can this be?" she says, "talking to me, a Samaritan woman. Unheard of. Taking place right now by the well is evangelism in its raw state." Jesus now witnesses to her about the life-giving water of God that the well of Jacob cannot give. "Come, come, you who are thirsty, come to the waters and drink," Isaiah says. But it is Jesus now who is actually begging. He's begging for water, so to speak. And to the woman, "All I ask of you is for a cup of water. That's all I want. All I want is just a cup of water to quench my thirst." How quick the woman answers him back. "You are a Jew and you talk to me, a Samaritan woman?" She doesn't understand. The woman can't understand such humility coming from a man and asking her for such, asking a woman for a drink. But by his grace and his humility, this woman is now at ease. She's not hostile now. She's ready to listen and to really listen to what he has to say. Unbeknown to her, Christ is about to convert her to the life-giving waters of God that Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah. A well that is so deep, it will never ever run out. This woman now asks him, "Where where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us his well and drank from it himself? She still doesn't understand him. But sir, you have nothing to draw the water with, and the well is so deep. She does not think he is capable of providing her with water that he speaks of, because he doesn't have a jug or a vessel to give her any. Her humanism now gets in her way. He now continues in the conversation with her and explains to her in an understanding that she will understand that he is the Christ of the living waters, the fountain of life. Come to the waters, come. She still doesn't think it's possible to have such water. The water that Christ offers from the well of life so deep, there is no bottom to this well, and it's incapable of running out. You drink from Jacob's well, tomorrow you'll need to drink again, because tomorrow you'll be thirsty again. You drink from the well that God offers you, you will never thirst again. Jesus, in his love and compassion, now tries to encourage her even more. The well of water that I offer is the well of water that lives in you by the Spirit of God. The fountain giving a constant supply of satisfaction, joy, and peace that the world cannot give, that the world is incapable of giving. This is a water supply that overflows like the jars of water at the wedding of Cana. The waters spring up to everlasting life, which is far better than any water that came out of Jacob's well. The woman now begs him. She now becomes the beggar. She begs him to give this water so that I may never thirst again. In her weakness and in her ignorance of Jesus, through no fault of her own, she comes before him now in faith. And she surrenders herself to him. She completely and utterly surrenders herself to him, to this life-giving well that never runs out. It's to those who totally surrender to Christ and come to him freely, as Isaiah calls out, come. She now humbly admits her sins to him about her husbands and about the man she lived with. Prophetically, Jesus says, isn't your husband? He brings her to the point of confession, where everybody has to come and confess before Christ before they receive this life-giving water. And throughout the healing ministry of Jesus Christ, everybody he healed and brought to him, he brought them to a point of confession where he was able to give them grace and to say, your sins are forgiven. And so the same thing happens here now to the woman at the well. Go and sin no more. And finally, he teaches her and brings her to the truth in how to worship in spirit and in truth. It's one thing to stand here on a Sunday morning or sit here on a Sunday morning and sing one hymn or one song after another, but it's something else to sing them in spirit and in truth that comes from the heart and the mind related together, so you get lost in spirit and in truth as you worship the living God. She now responds in verse 25. I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, will he explain everything to us? And verse 26, Jesus says, finally, I who speak to you, I am he. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how she must have felt? How overwhelmed she must have felt. She's having this dialogue with a man she knows nothing of. A man who is evangelizing to her, talking about the living waters and to worship in spirit and in truth. She wants to know more. She wants to know who this Christ is. And she says, well, I am he. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I think that's just so wonderful. Just so gracious and great. I am he, the one that now talks to you. The woman now having drunk from the well of life by Christ himself, is now drunk herself in the fact that she's been welcomed, she's respected, and she now knows, probably for the first time in her life, that she is truly loved and loved by Christ himself. Come. She now becomes an evangelist. She returns to the village, to the town of her own people. And what does she say to the people? Verse 29, the words of Isaiah. Come! Come, I have met a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 39, because of her evangelism, because of her testimony of Christ at the well, many believed what she had to say. From this one woman testimony through evangelism, many came to know Christ themselves. And because of this encounter, people came to the well, saw Jesus for himself and encouraged him to stay in that town for a further 2 days, bringing many, many more into the kingdom of God through the testimony of one woman, which becomes a spring to eternal life, all because of the encounter of a sinner. Many more were saved. Come, come to the waters. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy wine, milk, without money, without cost. Come, it is all free. So how thirsty are we in our personal lives today, in wanting to know more of Christ Jesus? How thirsty are we today that through our personal testimonies, let alone the church, can share our love of Christ with another person, to bring that person to life who may well be walking the streets or wherever, as the deer walked in that parched land, panting for water, panting for life, panting for her or him to overcome their own problems and their own circumstances. They're so thirsty, but they don't know where to go. They don't know where to receive it or how to receive it. But they may well be as thirsty as the woman at the well. How true do we worship? And I ask myself the same question. How true do we worship in spirit and in truth in the living God that it becomes so effective that other people are drawn to him by our witness and by our testimonies? How many of us as Christians, and again I include myself in this too, struggle every day in our own personal walk through whatever struggle we may be going through, bereavement, pain, illness, difficulties, 101 things that can pull us down, can depress us and struggle. Because we are not thirsty enough. Because we are not longing enough. Because we are not drinking enough of this life-giving water that Christ gives to enable us to overcome and to have the strength that we need to overcome our own pain, our own circumstances, our own bereavement, and our own troubles that engulf us all from time to time. We hold back in our own strength when we should surrender to him like the woman at the well. Give it all over to him and hear his voice like never before. Come to the waters and drink. It is I who are calling you in total surrender, in blind faith. Will you, will I, as the deer pants for water, this morning come to the well in the way we've never come before and quench our thirst and to overcome our personal difficulties because in total surrender for now and forever we give it to him and we give it to him only. And unload our burdens, unload our pain, our bereavement and our problems, and be free to worship him, to live in him, and have that life-giving waters. So this morning, my challenge is to you. How thirsty are you? How thirsty are you? Are you not thirsty? Are you not quenching? Is your heart not thumping? Is your heart not pumping that you want more? And the only reason you can have more, and the only reason I can have more, is to surrender to him and let him have his way. And realize it is Christ that calls us to come and come to him. Amen.